Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Happy Halloween from Wrestle Radio. It's your boy, B-Train. On this lovely, cold Halloween day here in Brooklyn, New York, how's it going? I already got a question straight out the gate, really? What am I going to be for Halloween? Okay, well, I am just going to be a casual Joker. So gonna wear my Joker hat, my Joker shirt, no face paint, none intended, although I could add some. Anyways, we're gonna get right into wrestling. Tales from the Ring was in Clive, Iowa, and it was a lot of fun. So here's what I gotta say about that. We got some of the matches right here in the very first match of the night. Was Brian Cage versus Shigehiro Iri. There might have been somewhat of a language barrier because, I don't know. I'm not going to focus on that. The match was pretty awesome. There was a lot of exchanging of forearms, kicks, you name it. It was a stiff match. Enjoyed the ever-living hell out of it. Brian Cage was one crazy dude, and so was his opponent. I'm sorry if I butchered your name. And then, let's see here. Yes, Jack Swagger was in the house. I'll get to that match later versus Sami Callihan. There was another singles match, and it featured Jessica Havoc, a.k.a. the Death Machine, versus Jake Crist. She absolutely destroyed him. Then you had Alex Colon versus Ricky Shane Page. It was actually a decent match. I'll tell you this right now. Every single one of these matches was more than just decent. There are a lot of moments where you could calm down. There's a lot of moments where the pace would pick back up, and there are a lot of moments at Wrestling Revolver that made you go, man, why can't I see this stuff every time? Makes you wonder now, doesn't it? Because this is only my second time to be at Pro Wrestling Revolver. Normally, you hear me yammering on about WWE to start the show. I will do so later. So I'm keeping a balance between the fans who appreciate Wrestling Revolver and the people, guys and gals involved. Also, you know what? Joey Ryan was in the house, and so was Candice Wrestling, a.k.a. Candice LeRae, one of the Mae Young Classic competitors. Also, not just that, she's been a champion several times outside of WWE. So I'll get to her match in a few. A.R. Fox versus Daga, which that also, I've never heard someone come out to Space Jam, the opening theme of Space Jam nonetheless. A.R. Fox ends up getting the victory over Daga. A lot of high-flying spots in that match. Per verbatim what happened, I would need the host with the most, but he never showed. So I was left by myself, and it's okay because I enjoyed it, and it's all that matters, whatever. Anyhow, yes, Jason Kata versus Ricochet. Man, how many near falls can there be in a match? Ricochet did some amazing things outside of the ring, like a side moonsault. 450 corkscrew. Off the top of my head, those are the things I remember him doing, because there's too many flippy shit that goes on in a Ricochet match. But you can never deny the man his talent. And the reason why I say flippy is because I can never do that. And I'm pretty sure most wrestling fans, unless they have the talent and skills to be able to flip and be able to do what Ricochet did during his match. I mean, there were some cheap spots, you know, that Jason Kata doing. He did have some help outside interference twice, but managed to lose because Ricochet's girlfriend ended up helping a lot. And keeping the match fair, that is. So Ricochet gets the victory. It goes to intermission. Then you see two people that I've seen before. I've seen them in Evolve. Matt Riddle versus Jeff Cobb. And I gotta say, if Samoa Joe had a twin, Jeff Cobb would be it. A young, young version of Samoa Joe. So, keep in mind, this entire frame, Matt Riddle versus Jeff Cobb. Matt Riddle played the role perfectly of antagonist, man, during the entire match. It told a story. I'm talking about straight-up deadlift German suplexes, Northern Lights, and submission maneuvers, counters, a lot of countering during the match. It told a story. It was a great match. Matt ends up winning the match by a submission. Taps out Cobb. They shake hands at the end of the match. Great, great match. I mean, what better way to start your weekend than watching Tales from the Ring? And I must say, that was my second time seeing, actually third time seeing Matt Riddle, twice in San Antonio at Evolve. Once at Pro Wrestling Revolver this year, so it was pretty cool to see him again. And then later on, I guess you see, probably going out of order on these matches, but yes, Jack Swagger versus Sami Callihan. This was the showcase match. I guess most people came to see because of Jack Swagger. Not going to lie, you know, once you mention a former WWE name, it is a draw. Anyhow, his match with Sammy was pretty decent. Sammy hits hard. Let's just say that for having a low center of gravity, and not only that, but God, I would not want to be on the receiving end of a Sami Callihan chop. Let me tell you why. Because that man is nuts. He ran all the way from the end of the barricade chopping Jack Swagger, and I thought a nipple was going to fly. That's how funny, or not how funny, but actually how serious the severity of a Sami Callihan chop can be. So, goes a very good back-and-forth match. JT Davidson was involved, I guess, as Sami Callihan's manager, which was kind of odd, in my opinion. You know, because usually JT kind of gravitates toward being a heel manager. But you know what? I digress. And I like to move forward to the tag team ladder match, but there was a death match. I'm not so sure that I really, really... No. All I'm going to say about the death match is I respect those wrestlers who decide to get up and do those kind of matches, because I sure as hell would not. I know that most of my friends may or may not do death match wrestling. It's not for the faint at heart. It's not for a weak stomach. I got up and walked around because that's not the type of match I want to see unless I'm sitting in the comfort of my own home and be like, oh, man, that had to hurt. There was barbed wire. There was glass involved. There was steel chairs, tables. You know, your typical death match, right? Light tubes. What would a death match be without light tubes? I mean, hey, As you can tell in the tone of my voice, I'm not really a big fan of death matches. My compadre, on the other hand, is a huge fan of death matches. And to each their own, to each their own sadist, right? I mean, it is Halloween. So, the match that captivated the entire night, and it's hard to say, you know, at a Wrestling Revolver show, every match captivates an audience. So, yes. There's a tag team match for, is a ladder match for the first, to crown the very first tag team champions of Pro Wrestling Revolver. You have Luchasaurus and Sarpentico versus the besties in the world, Davey Vega and Matt Fitchett versus the world's cutest tag team, Candice LeRae and Joey Ryan versus Trey Miguel and Zachary Wentz versus Zero Gravity, which consisted of Brett Kaika and CJ Esparza. Okay. I'm going to tell you something. When Joey Ryan and I opened the night, getting his autograph, this pretty nice dude helped me find the money that I put in my pocket, which is kind of embarrassing. And in front of Candice LeRae, nonetheless, too, as well. Keep in mind, you know, I have never met Joey Ryan. Joey Ryan's never met me, and I'm standing at the merch table. This was before the tag team match, which I'll get to, back to discussing. I felt like such a horse's ass simply because I was trying to find my moolah to pay him for a photograph, in which, you know, I ended up getting some merch from his table. I got a picture with him and Candice. Okay. And I also happened to get a picture with Jessica Havoc, a.k.a. the Death Machine. All right, so now getting on track. I had a picture with awesome peoples, and now back to the tag team match. So, this match was nuts. I mean, how many times do I see guys flying in and out of the ring, like flying Lawindas, or Wellindas, my bad. And the besties in the world, I am not unfamiliar with them because I have seen them participate in NWL locally in St. Louis and also NWL Kansas City. So Davey Vega, Matt Fitchett. These two took a lot of risk on top of the ladder, in the ring, out of the ring. Oh, by the way. Backtrack just to smidgen. There's a six-way scramble match. And I got to tell you, I was impressed. And simply because why? There was a point match where Kurt Scallion acted like a Jedi and he tried using some Shikara tactics, you know, lifting a guy, you know, with his hand, throwing him across and then the turnbuckle. Palmer. Yeah, it was for the Scramble Championship with Palmer, and there were some other guys involved in that match as well. I believe Ricochet was also running, and Kata didn't get involved till the tail end of that match, and Palmer ended up retaining the championship. I believe there's another female that was involved and said match, you know, at the beginning. Palmer ends up winning the match. And that was that. Okay, now back to the tag team championship. So there's a lot of Suicide Torpedoes, Tope Suicidas, you know. There's a lot of craziness, in other words, that is involved in a Wrestling Revolver tag team championship match, especially including the ones where the ladders, I kid you not, I don't know if I'd feel safe using some of the tactics that these guys use, but you know what? It made for an interesting night because there were new tag team champions crowned at the end of the night. And if this so happens, the besties in the world who came out to Savage Garden's theme, I don't recall the song, but it was pretty awesome. Those who win, I am getting some of their merch as well, which is, you know, you got to support independent wrestling, right? Well, in this case, Wrestling Revolver is much, I wouldn't say bigger than indie wrestling, but at the rate these guys are going, they've got an awesome thing going. And, you know, this match, it may not have been what you're used to seeing as a wrestling fan as far as ladder matches go, but whenever they have a ladder match, is it any different than what you see on TV, you know, especially in WWE? Is there any ladder of comparison? See what I did there? All right. So we're going to pause 10 seconds for station identification. And when we get back, we're going to have a lot of fun. I promise you that. 10 seconds, folks. Okay, that was a little flashback of what the theme actually sounded like way back in the day. Kind of spooky, isn't it? But overall, Wrestling Revolver, mad props to you, dude. Mad props to you, Sammy, Jeffy, whoever helps run the show. Jacob Manning, you as well. You guys are amazing. And every time that I've been there, I've only been there twice, so I can't say. Maybe let me rephrase that. Wrestling Revolver, you guys are awesome. I had a great time at Clive, or in Clive, I should say. There's a lot of stuff that I liked, especially conversating amongst the fans, amongst the, you know, fellow wrestling fans. It was a lot of fun just watching somebody actually wasn't trying to get under somebody's skin. So I'm going to say it. It was fun not being annoyed for once at a wrestling event and feeling positive. So I got there, got my ticket, stood out in the cold. You know, probably for a good 10, 15 minutes. So it is what it is. I had fun. That's that. Now, Monday Night Raw, I will get to that in a second. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say the following. Boy, you know, there's a lot of doors that are opening and closing in WWE. People are on their way out, or people are, you know, just saying the following. I needed a breather, so therefore I can come back, you know, when I see fit. Obviously, if you weren't catching up with Twitter and what was going on there, Nia Jax tweeting back and forth a lot, which is funny because there seems to be one common trend, okay, or one common thing that people forget. If there's always a problem child who likes to bitch and moan, and I don't think this is the case. I think that there are certain things in wrestling that bug me, and some people will never understand fully what that is, and I'll just go ahead and explain. Nia Jax left to take a breather because she didn't feel it'd be right for her to lose to Sasha Banks at TLC. So I'm sure you know there's no hard feelings between Sasha or Nia. However, you know, if you're a powerhouse and you happen to be related to one of wrestling's great relatives, it does kind of make you wonder, like, what kind of advice you could ask your relative, like The Rock or Tamina. Should I go through with losing to Sasha Banks? Should I swallow the pill and lose? I guarantee you, it's good to express your grievances in the wrestling business, because if you don't, well, you have either a podcast to express your whole entire grievance about someone that you feel like, it's not just about losing and winning matches, it's about the right thing or doing the right thing. And I'm going to use myself as an example. Walking away from a situation that you're not comfortable with, and the company you're in is not fulfilling your satisfaction, you should just be happy or man up about it and say, hey, I'm not happy, I'm leaving. And I'm sure the company I left can tell you they're sick and tired of me referencing them. Well, here it is. On this lovely Halloween day, the mask come off, the real face, you know, is revealed of myself, and I'm going to tell you this. Nia Jax, I'm not going to speak for her because I am not her. But I'm probably going to tell you this right now. Logically thinking, if you're supposed to be a powerhouse and you get set up to lose to someone who looks like a twig, it wears a weave, has a bad attitude in front of fans, just saying, she does, she has have a bad attitude unless, you know, she's signing autographs and then a signing. Most fans notice to point this out. When, you know, you're trying to relax and watch wrestling, you're not trying to think of logical things, you think to yourself as a fan, okay, who stands out the most in women's wrestling? You think, okay, Alexa Bliss, Becky Lynch, Naomi, Charlotte, Natalia, so on and so forth. So Survivor Series is coming up fairly soon. And yours truly will be going to said event, okay? So here's the deal. If and when somebody comes to the bag and says, okay, here's your match, you look at the card, you see who, you know, you're up against. And normally in your head will say, okay, maybe I got to shut my mouth and just bite my tongue and grind and keep going at it. How would you feel if you were a powerhouse, if you were Nia Jax or Jessica Havoc, and you had to lose to a twig who is athletically gifted, strong, independent, and, you know, I'm not going to hide behind walls. Okay, I'm not really a Sasha Banks fan because I think she exudes a lot of snooty, you know, woe is me behavior. Because how are you going to sit there in the back and then say stuff like, I know, you know, I'm not a really big fan of Alexa Bliss because she exudes, you know, she looks like a female model. She doesn't have to work as hard as I have. That may be true, but if you're wrestling with a constant chip on your shoulder, more power to you, sweetie. I never, and I'm going to say this nicely, comparatively speaking to Nia Jax, you are a bitch. And I'm pretty sure you're okay with that because you're making millions of dollars and you're wrestling all over the world and you're nice to other workers, family members, but yet you're a bitch to kids who ask for your autograph. Back in Brooklyn, yo, let me just tell you this. Back in Brooklyn, when we were on the guardrail like we're supposed to, and she was on her way out somewhere possibly to eat or wherever, my cousin who was there asked for an autograph. And the response was, I'd love to, but I'm going out to eat. Okay. More power to you. You don't want to be bothered. I understand that. But when you do as you're told, you know, and you're polite, not just that, and you work hard for the company, you're a powerhouse like Nia. More power to Nia, because Nia was very, very friendly, and she was honest. She's like, I have to leave at this time, or else, you know, I have to go back to the hotel, yada, yada, in Orlando. And she took time out to take a picture with me inside the replica Elimination Chamber. And fans remember your niceness. They remember your sincerity. Yeah, I realize, you know, this kind of got off topic and got personal real quick, but I'm going to tell you what bothers me as a fan is that people who assume, oh, Nia didn't really leave because of this, and this. I read, according to a news source on WrestlingNews.co, who happens to be a very reliable source, by the way, and it discussed how Nia talked about losing to Sasha Banks at a pay-per-view. If I were Nia, she did the right thing. She asked for advice from a family member who's well known in this business, better known as the People's Champion, The Rock. Hey, if I don't feel right about going into this match, what should I do? If I'm supposed to lose to Sasha Banks, I'm pretty sure the knee-jerk reaction was, what the fuck? Because, honestly, it's not just about winning or losing in wrestling. It's also about doing the right thing and making yourself feel comfortable. Granted, that's, you're going to have to sacrifice when you enter this business. That's a given. But when you're presented with something that's complete and utter bullshit, you know that you're bigger. I don't understand if it's maybe like the first time or second time. But Sasha Banks is not an underdog. She can freaking frackin' fight. Okay? And I'm going to segue out of a WWE discussion because I got to mellow out before I hit off the rails. Halloween edition, how's it going? We're going to hit the advertisements. So, ladies and gentlemen, Monster Factory has something special going on. Danny Cage is putting on his wrestling boots again for one more match. Until you don't want to miss. For tickets and more information, go to monsterfactory.org. Speaking of Monster Factory, Monster Mash, I believe, is this Saturday in Paulsboro, New Jersey, at the world-famous Monster Factory. Get your tickets. For more information, go to monsterfactory.org. It lists all the events and also enrollment into Danny Cage's world-famous Monster Factory School. For experienced students and non-experienced students, his phone number is right there on the page. It is on Instagram. It is on Facebook. It is on Twitter. Please, by all means, get up, get off your ass, call on the phone, start your dreams of becoming a wrestler, announcer, ring announcer, what have you, today, tonight, tomorrow. Don't wait. Just do it, like Nike says. Okay? MonsterFactory.org. Contact Danny. Get to the point. Enroll in his school. Enjoy and learn every single day in pro wrestling, okay? Next on the list, yes, NWL 444 Life. National Wrestling League, TPC, is located in North Kansas City. For more information on enrolling in their school, you can go to nwlfightleague.com. Click on the tab for school and enrollment. The phone number is right there. It is located in North Kansas City, right off of Swift Street. It is right across the bar. Right across the bar. Right across from a bar. Pickleball playing place. You can also eat, have fun. Also watch some TPC training shows because those are awesome. Oh, and speaking of which, there are networks you should subscribe to. I don't know what's wrong with you folks. FlowSlam.com, you can catch the latest Evolve, past Evolve, PWG, IWGP, New Japan Pro Wrestling, so on and so forth. If you don't believe in what I'm telling you, check out FlowSlam.com. Also, go to MonsterFactory.org, you have the Monster Factory Network, where it gives you insights, tours, and ticket price information for all Monster Factory events coming up. And then on Halloween, why wouldn't I not promote the network? Go to WWE.com, go to network, type in an email address and a password. It is free for the first month. If you have a preloaded WWE card, you can find the, if you do not have one, you can buy one for $29.97 at your local GameStops, Dollar Generals, Best Buys, and 7-Elevens. So, you know, pick you up today. That's 3 months with that preloaded card. If you do not have a preloaded card, make sure that you have a debit or valid credit card along with a valid email address, name, address, whatever, so your contact information is stored, and you'll be able to watch anything close up to, a hell of a lot of hours from Smoky Mountain Pro Wrestling, ECW, WCW, old WWE, NWA, AWA, WCCW. You can even type the name of a wrestler in and study them if you are a wrestler or manager. So use the network to your advantage, okay? Just watch as best you can. Oh, and take advantage of it, because for those of you who do not like WWE but want to watch the old shit, WWE Network's your very, very good outlet for that stuff. Oh, yeah. Speaking of which, if you are trying to come up with a costume, I'm pretty sure WWE.com, or, you know, you could, if you're good at cosplaying, you know, why not try your hand on Amazon or eBay? Get your hustle game out there. Anyhow, ladies and gentlemen, we're not at that point in the show just yet, but the advertisements, we'd like to make you well aware of Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So go to SusanGComen.org to fight the good fight against breast cancer. Tell your stories. Do some marathons. Walk. Do whatever you can, because I'm going to tell you right now, breast cancer is a real thing, but you can always be the one to donate to a good cause on the website. They have a funding page, a funding link to the page where you can donate as much as you want. Oh, and also, if you're up for it, you know, just go to the SusanGComen.org site. There's some auctioned off items by WWE Superstars. Make sure you check those out, purchase them, donate for a good cause, and by all means, have fun doing so, and also support your friend or loved one that you have lost. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that advertisement comes to an end. And no, to answer your question, Joey, I'm not going to apologize to Sasha Banks, simply because I find it funny that people think that, you know, I don't have a vendetta against her. I'm just irritated, because it's like, how can you be that, you know, that strong as a character, and then you wonder why people are sick of you? It's because, how can you be the one wrestling with a chip on your shoulder? How can it make sense for Nia to come in and completely dominate you, and then for the whole thing to go awry whenever, you know, she said she didn't want to wrestle and then lose? I'm pretty sure, you know, Sasha was completely okay with it. Why? Because she's one of those, oh, I'm making a paycheck. That's what it seems like. That's what it seems like. When you're on the road and you've got a lot of people coming at you and asking questions, yeah, there's going to be a chip on your shoulder. There's going to be, no matter if you're a podcaster, a wrestler, a manager, a referee, you know the lifestyle. So, going to be one roasting of Sasha Banks? No, because I've got other shit I've got to report. So, Raw had a lot of returns last night on the show, including not just Nia Jax, but also Braun Strowman. So I guess that's not a lot of returns, but oh yeah, Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel. Well, Curtis Axel's been with the company, so Bo Dallas. So where was Bray Wyatt? I guess he's still suffering from the viral infection. I know JoJo came back, so she's obviously healthy. You know, good, great ring announcer, great ring presence. Been through a lot this year, she has. So Roman Reigns was absent again. I don't know how long this viral infection may take, but we wish him the best, because even though some people hate him, like, oh my God, I can't believe Roman Reigns, I'm kind of glad without him. You do realize he's the focal part of the Shield, right? Not vocal part, but focal part, meaning he's a vital part. That's the area I was looking for. So whenever some people review Monday Night Raw, they just go down the list of matches. Okay, so you had Matt Hardy versus The Miz for the Intercontinental Championship, Alexa Bliss versus Mickie James for the Women's Championship. You had Nia Jax in a qualifying match for Team Monday Night Raw versus SmackDown Live. She ended up qualifying. She ended up defeating Bayley, who, it's amazing too, she's getting split reactions from the crowd, both booing and cheering. So a lot of people think, well, the number one solution is just turn her heel. I'll get to that in a minute. So it's interesting. Alicia Fox is the team captain for Monday Night Raw. That's kind of... Anyhow, so there's a tag team match, which is kind of a laugh, really. It's comic relief. You have the Bullet Club versus Heath Slater and Rhino, or Mr. and Mrs. Claus. There's candy kendo sticks. There was pumpkins. There's Bob and Apples. I mean, it was a Halloween street fight. I mean, last year was Enzo and Cass versus the Bullet Club. So I guess Bullet Club dressed up. They had fun in the ring, I think. But I think starting to get concerned because the Bullet Club or Gallows and Anderson have not had any serious matches for their time being that they've been in WWE. So far, they've only had one tag team title reign that was cut short by the New Day. Apollo Crews versus Samoa Joe. There's the other return I was looking for. Okay, so Apollo Crews put up a good fight against Samoa Joe, but Samoa Joe ends up choking Apollo Crews out, which was awesome, by the way. We're watching Monday Night Raw with some friends, just chilling, eating some barbecue. It was a lot of fun, to say the least, to watch Samoa Joe return and say, I don't care about you people think that I missed you. Nope. Just like typical humans, you don't care about me. You just care about my appearance. You just care about my... You didn't care about my well-being. And that's pretty apparent, you know. Obviously, he's on a new chapter. Maybe if they put him on Survivor Series team, this could be really interesting. You put Samoa Joe on the Survivor Series men's team. Wonder what that'll do as far as, speaking of captains. Kurt Angle was named or dubbed the captain unceremoniously by returning Stephanie McMahon. See, it's starting to come. It's starting to come to me. Okay. Stephanie McMahon returns at the very opening segment of Monday Night Raw. Yes, I know I work ass backwards. She then states, it took 25 years for my father to help build this brand, and now you took only 1 week to help destroy that reputation and make our brand look soft. So I wonder, is it going to be Kurt Angle versus Shane, or is Daniel Bryan going to prove himself and put the boots back, or put the wrestling boots back on and start up? Because I guarantee you, that'd be awesome to see Kurt Angle versus Daniel Bryan. I mean, he's been cleared to wrestle, according to certain sources, WrestlingNews.co, various other wrestling, CagesideSeats.com, Bleacher Report, which is sometimes inaccurate, but, you know, fairly accurate with the news that they report about professional wrestling, so it's not fake news, trust me. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I think close enough on this Halloween edition of Wrestle Radio for something I like to call Wrestling Shoot Therapy. Look in my eyes, what do you see? The cost of something I would be. Okay. Normally, I sit here and do a SmackDown Live preview. Yeah, I think to throw you off, I'm going to do it right now. Not to throw a wrench into things, but seeing as how I've got to, because I've got to address a few things about SmackDown Live. Okay, enough of the cool music. But SmackDown Live is probably going to address Daniel Bryan's appearance on Monday Night Raw and getting chokeslammed by Kane in the dark, which is really cheesy, but also effective because now Daniel Bryan may have revenge on his mind. And now that Kane may be a part of Survivor Series team, I don't know. This is going to be one hell of a Monday Night Raw versus SmackDown Live series. SmackDown Live is having qualifying matches tonight. Dolph Ziggler versus Bobby Roode, Shinsuke Nakamura. We'll also be in action tonight to qualify. Oh, versus Kevin Owens. So I'm going to talk to you all about tonight as well. Though I may not agree with the result of last week's SmackDown Live, because having Randy Orton consistently be on a Survivor Series team has been an X factor majority of the time. Seeing as how the Big Show is not participating at Survivor Series, we know as a constant, you know, chord, right? That there's, that he's not going to be the obvious mole in the equation because he's wrestled for Raw, turned his back on them, and went to SmackDown. I mean, he's had more turns than fucking NASCAR. The point is, with Randy Orton, is there a possibility that he could be the one to betray SmackDown Live? And I think the reason why they did not want Sami Zayn as a part of this, because there's bigger fish to fry, right? There's bigger and better things on the horizon for Sami Zayn. Now, watching SmackDown Live last week, I don't know, will Monday Night Raw make their appearance or make their presence felt? I don't know. That's up to you guys, the viewers, the ones who want to watch this shit. The reason I say that, NXT, as usual, even without Asuka, they're now replacing, I guess, Asuka with Kairi Sane. But the point is, SmackDown Live has always and will always be the most underrated roster in WWE. And here's the reasoning. Even with big names like Shinsuke Nakamura, AJ Styles, even with guys like Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn and Randy Orton, who just became the very first member of SmackDown Live, now I get it. SmackDown Live wants to be the brand that separates from Monday Night Raw. However, you know, there's good and bad points to watching this stuff. The good being that, well, SmackDown Live kind of reminds me of, the Alliance back in the day, minus Stephanie McMahon. So, where do I rank this Survivor Series? Where do I rank this SmackDown Live? Well, let's start with SmackDown Live. Tonight, you're going to see very, very match, hopefully, with Kevin Owens versus Shinsuke Nakamura. Will we get a decent match between Bobby Roode and Dolph Ziggler? As I said, this remains to be seen, because every single time you tune on the TV, you say, okay, I'm going to see a decent SmackDown Live. And you never get disappointed, except for maybe once or twice. They do have disappointing shows, because that's life, right? You're not always going to get the star-studded, you know, Monday Night Raw edition of SmackDown Live. You're going to get a card that proves to be probably one of the premier brands. People may dispute that with me, but here's the thing. SmackDown Live does things that Raw does not. Does that make it a bad show? No. And Raw does things that SmackDown Live does not, and that's have a constant revolving door in which Emma's now gone, Neville's now out, Austin Aries is out a long time ago, Cody Rhodes vacated the area a long time ago. Point is, SmackDown Live has kept a consistent roster. And though Raw plucked from SmackDown Live, literally plucked because they realized it was SmackDown Live was beating Monday Night Raw in ratings. Now people claim that there are shows that are higher rated than SmackDown Live. That may be true, but they are on the grand stage and they are a premier show on Tuesday nights. And yes, they're only 2 hours long, but I mean, if you had 2 hours to prepare for stuff like the United States Championship match, which we all know, if Baron Corbin does not retain, The Miz faces a new United States champion, it's not a big deal. Jinder Mahal goes up against Brock Lesnar, champion versus champion. I mean, I get what they're doing, and it's different from last year, so we got to give WWE some credit for that. However, you know, the bigger picture is what looms over SmackDown Live and Monday Night Raw. What can these two brands do to make fans tune in and watch? Well, it's simple. You get a draw from the big name who fans mark out over, and you make sure that their merchandise is sold, the tickets are sold, and you have a damn decent packed house and a reaction, good or bad. The problem with that theory is the reaction part, the reactionary part. If you have a full house, let's say at tables, ladders, and chairs, and it was a 50-50, kind of, because the main event surprised the fuck out of me. Braun Strowman and Kane. I did have a bad feeling with those combustible elements. What kind of show up? But you have that match, for example, in Minneapolis, and I gotta say, you know, I was surprised of the outcome. See what I'm doing? Sometimes fans will jump to conclusions like, oh, it's a handicap match. Oh, you know, these guys don't stand a chance. They don't have a prayer. The WWE fooled us all, didn't they? Kurt Angle comes out and fills in for Roman Reigns, does a wonderful job. And, you know, the night is that. Just like I'm thinking, last time I was at a Pro Wrestling Revolver show, Sammy Callahan comes out and says, card subject to change. Got a reaction. It was a success because Sammy put himself versus Brian Cage. That match was insane. It was, you think, oh, you know, a guy Sammy's size does not stand a chance in hell against Brian Cage. Much like, okay, Kurt Angle's old and he hasn't wrestled in a WWE ring for years. Most fans thought, oh, because he hasn't wrestled in a WWE ring, he really doesn't have a prayer. Let me inform you guys, Kurt Angle was wrestling outside of WWE, and man alive, he was tearing things up. TNA, Japan, he actually wrestled against Shinsuke Nakamura, so he's not unfamiliar with this, you know, this roster on SmackDown Live. What I'm getting at is, in order for these two brands to showcase their talent, yeah, there's things as fans that we notice now that we didn't notice before when we were watching it in middle school and we just wanted to see a kick-ass show, right? Of course, our version of a kick-ass show was Stone Cold Steve Austin versus The Rock versus The Undertaker versus Triple H versus Mankind. And, you know, steel chairs would get involved and different elements would come about. You know, like Vince McMahon screwing over either Undertaker or Kane or Stone Cold or The Rock. So you had a boss. You had an authoritative figure. Has that really changed in WWE? No. Because you have authoritative figures who are the ones in charge of WWE, you know, of their respective brand. You have Shane McMahon, who was the commissioner of SmackDown Live. You have Stephanie McMahon, who was the commissioner of Monday Night Raw. Now, I'm not going to spend the entire time giving you a compare and contrast sheet, because I did want to talk to you about certain things that I've taken notice of when it comes to wrestling, and this probably will not change, but back to my point, when you watch pro wrestling, or when you watch certain kind of wrestling, there's a different breed. It's a whole new animal when you've been a part of, and when you're looking back at it as a fan. It's two complete different worlds. Especially when you're watching Pro Wrestling Revolver, Evolve, PWG, a whole different, you know, different groups, Ring of Honor. I mean, what draws fans? What makes people be drawn like moths to a flame? Is it the entertainment aspect? Is it the good match quality? Are you trying to watch something new? I mean, what is it? So these companies, they mold themselves a little differently than WWE. And they're a smaller market, but they still manage to make moolah. They still manage to make dough. So this may shock you, may not. When you go to an independent wrestling event, or when you watch something outside of WWE for the first time, your eyes open up. I'm going to admit, my eyes did open up when I watched Evolve. I'd never been to an Evolve event. I've been to several other small local wrestling things around the Midwest, but the closest thing I came to independent wrestling, and they weren't a big company back in the day. They are, however, known for being famous for trailblazing what they did. ECW. Watched them as a kid at my uncle's house when I'd visit in Philly. And what drew me in was the whole Tommy Dreamer, may I have another, sir? Well, again, Sandman. Anyways. So I wanted to get some things on my chest, and I know I discuss a lot of women's wrestling on here, but I figure, you know what, why not? Because I can discuss how companies draw people in all day long as well, too, and that might take us into the discussion tomorrow for Wednesday. So here's my thing, okay? Whenever wrestling has people leave the company, you know, or just take some time off, it's not because they're burned out. It's not because, you know, I just decided to wake up and leave, you know, type thing. And sometimes it is. Sometimes you see on the news sources like WrestlingNews.co, what you see on CagesideSeats.com, and also different PWI Insider, which when people come to me with wrestling news, I'm gonna say this right now. It's hilarious that you talk to me about stuff I already know. Sometimes I don't know what's going on, but I'd prefer, you know, just to read on my own rather than be informed by, did you know that so-and-so left the WWE? Like, okay, guy, look, I don't care whether someone left out of WWE or not. Do you know why? Because I'm trying to get myself in to a company, not just WWE. I'm trying to market myself as best I can. And if I make it somewhere, I'm not just landing there, oh, you know, I landed a job here, yay, I'm going to be lazy. But there's a lot that goes into pro wrestling. There's traveling, there's booking, there's making sure stuff is promoted properly. Stuff, I'm just preaching to the choir, but I'm going to say what bothers me. When you're a professional and you are known for being a complete dick or a complete bitch, you know what I've learned? Just let them. Because what is the point of ranting and raving about something that people already know, right? when people have attitudes, they're, oh, they're, you know, that's just how they are. They won't sign autographs, whatever. So I guess the only way to get an autograph from these awesome athletes is to go to a website, pay $150 of money to get their autograph, mind you, and the picture, so you have to pay more. Is it fair because, you know, that's how they make their money? Wrestlers make their money off of not just pure talent alone, but they make their money off appearances, merch checks. They make their money off of some ability, right? I mean, you have to have some skill to get in the ring and make it to the point where it's believable for other fans or believe in what you're doing. They get wrapped up in the show, then you're doing your job. The reason why I went off earlier in the show is because when you have a relative who is 18 years younger than you and loves professional wrestling like you do, idolizes someone, is it such a crime, you know, to ask you for a quick autograph? No. I don't think so. My cousin was even dressed like Sasha Banks, and, you know, Sasha smiled and was polite. But the point is, you wait for literally, you know, I already had gotten Big E's autograph. I had already gotten Bray Wyatt's. And Bray's always in character, so that's kind of funny. But the point is, when you know somebody who you feel like they're there, like a Kevin Nash. Kevin Nash is there for the paycheck. But they know how to entertain fans. I'm not mad at them for that. And I applaud a few people for leaving. You know why? Because if you're not satisfied and you're making money outside of WWE, if you are making a success for yourself, more power to you. Some people leave on great terms, and some people leave on bad terms. But when people make comments after the fact that someone has left, that's very classless, and it looks bad on you. And yes, I do realize people make mistakes. But it's also, is it calling the kettle black since what I did after I left a company? Remorseless? I don't care. There's a difference between having frustration and also being a complete douche canoe. Leo Rush, great talent, you know, wonderful in the ring, probably made a bad judgment, wasn't really thinking, but you do realize the last person to make a comment like that got completely buried because once you just dig yourself a grave, you might as well keep digging. And Leo Rush probably is going to dig himself out of this one. I don't know if he will. This is not some just localized indie tweet. This was on a larger scale. And Peyton Royce responded. She basically said, you know, have some professionalism and some class. Actually, let me read the tweet that Peyton Royce left on here, okay? Because I would like to point this out. Whenever you lose somebody, not just WWE, but whenever you lose somebody in the company that's of value, it behooves you just to be cordial, okay? Oh. Yeah. So, basically, she said, wow, kid, didn't you just get here? Professionalism goes a long way. Now, I don't blame her. Do you know why? Barely know who Leo Rush is, but I all the awesome matches and accolades that you have, some people are going to argue and say, it shouldn't be a big deal because he just started and he made mistakes. And that's cute. But my thing is, when you make a comment about somebody who has more experience than you in the business put together, in my opinion, you know, there are certain things that happen for a reason. Maybe Emma may find her niche when she leaves the company, or when she left the company, and she just wasn't satisfied. Some people don't end up doing or being successful when they make it to the big time. It wasn't necessarily so much that, it's just what direction were they going to point her in, because she was constantly feuding with Asuka. I wonder though, you know, maybe she could have been the first one to end the streak. I mean, what would people say about her then? But when it comes to making rhetorical comments, like Emma's gone, you know, been gone too soon, he issued an apology because the company told him to. Am I downing on someone because they make one tweet? No. I'm just telling you right now that certain people who watch people make comments amongst social media, you're not going to be happy with what I have to say. Okay, some of you may be happy with what I say because it's telling the truth. When you get out of the independent scene, it's no different from when you were there. Because why? It's a little different because you're on a pedestal because everyone puts you up on a high regard. Hey, this dude, Leo Rush, you know, did some great things, had some awesome matches. Make one comment in a company in which can make or break you. You can recover, right? It's no big deal. Now that you're probably going to get booed in some regards. You're probably going to get cheered in some regards. I mean, I'll admit, Emma's kind of like Dana Brooke. Dana Brooke's really nice, you know, but what is the purpose of having her? You know, what area is she going to fit into? Okay. So if you're booking for wrestling, not just women's wrestling, where do you place Emma? I mean, putting her up there with Asuka was pretty cool, I thought. And she scouted Asuka pretty well. It just was unfortunate, man. She just wasn't feeling satisfied enough to the point where, okay, you know, I can do this. I can definitely do this, yada, yada. Maybe not the perfect timing for it, but here's the thing. Sometimes you go into a job, right? And you're just like, man, I don't know if I really want to be here. I should just quit. I'm not feeling it. You can't really say, that she didn't try, because they took, like, what, 4-5 months to repackage her, and then all of a sudden, you know, they put her in matches, spot matches against Asuka, and my friends and I sat there like, again? Like, how are you supposed to react to that? Like, how are you supposed to be like, oh, yeah, great. It just boggles my mind, like, okay, you get into a company, you sign up, and you say, all right, I'm going to just fight through all this bullshit. I'm going to go through all the pain, and I'm going to make it. I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to say I'm not satisfied. I'm just going to shut my mouth, go through the grind, and do it. Just reading some of your questions, like, okay, so how are we supposed to react when it was kind of funny? How would you react if it was you being the one fired, or no, like, asking for your release because you're not satisfied? Emma is a very bright star, and she will shine elsewhere. So it's not the end of the world that Emma's gone, or Neville's gone, or Austin Aries, which that really did hurt. So I think that there's a good chance that what Leo Rush was saying is going to be under a microscope, and he's going to have to watch himself now, because there's no rhyme or reason for him saying it. If you say, let's say, you know, there's a personality that he necessarily did not get along with on TV, and that personality got released. You know that Twitter handles for WWE is kind of like, if you decide to keep your fans informed, which you mostly have to, because the WWE is like a huge, huge hotbed for social media controversy and also informing. So, in other words, kids, do not be a dumbass like Leo Rush in that instant. Is he going to be forgiven by good old B-Train? It don't matter about what I think. What matters is why the company decided to pick him up and give him a chance, just like they decided to pick Emma up and give her a chance. When she was in NXT, she actually did decently. Okay? And when she got to Maine, they didn't know what to do with her. And the sad part is, the same can be said about Cody Rhodes. They didn't know what to do with him. It's really a matter of, okay, you have all these superstars, you have all this going on. What is the appropriated action for when something goes down? Like Emma being released, or, you know, asking for her release. Like, not rocket science. Just keep your mouth shut and go about your business. If someone gets released, they get released. Because I kind of know how some of these people feel, because wrestling can take a mental toll on you. It can be either gratifying and you can get what you want out of the business. You can have a great time, great relationship with wrestling, great relationship with the promoters, everything. And then it hits a snag, and you're just like, well, okay, this is highly frustrating. I'm not doing anything. I'm not satisfied with what's going on. So how do you react when a compadre gets released, or, you know, or leaves to better themselves? I can tell you from experience, it's hard. It's like losing a family member. You know they're still there, but it's definitely hard from a distance saying, hey, man, I wish you the best of luck. Hey, man, I wish you the best of luck. When and where is the appropriate time to start shooting the breeze about how you feel about certain somebody? Certainly not on Twitter. Certainly not on Facebook, because that's the last place you want someone to find out. I will pause 5 seconds, or 10 seconds, my bad. Be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Granted, that was longer than 10 seconds, but I do have a newfound outlook on certain people who just do stuff stupid on social media, and that is sit back and enjoy the show, because people tend to make spectacles of themselves, whether they're in wrestling or out of wrestling. And one annoyance I have, well, there's many annoyances that I carry with me, but I just want to point out the reason why I'm fairly thoroughly annoyed with Leo Rush is because Well, that's cute. You know, he gets a second chance. And why am I annoyed with a second chance being given to somebody? Because, let's see. Number one, when you get to the big times, you have a reputation that you're already under a microscope for. And it's not just WWE. That it could be Ring of Honor, it could be PWG, IWGP, ICW, doesn't matter. It could be wrestling in Australia, Ireland, Japan. If you make a dumb comment, so help me God, you know, it's on you. If you decide, hey, I'm going to go on Twitter and I'm going to tweet something that's funny to me, guess what, pal? You got attention, all right. In the wrong way. And to tell you the truth, people know of Lio Rush. People know of Emma. They mainly remember her from, you know, her days when she was, like, doing a weird dance with Santino Marella every time she'd come out to the ring. So, I mean, it's up to you, however you want to interpret what happened or transpired between Lio Rush and his tweet. I mean, some people were like, I thought it was pretty funny. Again, I can't tell you how to feel. I'm not inside your brain and thinking about your emotions. I'm just expressing, based off opinion, how I feel. Fact of the matter is this. Even if you were a professional in UFC and you tweeted something about Ronda Rousey leaving a company, don't you think there'd be a sense of professionalism saying, man, what a great competitor, you will be missed, can't wait to see you in the octagon again? Something like that is more appropriate than, well, I guess they really, Emma really wasn't satisfied too soon or something like that, is what Lio Rush said on Twitter. Again, some people really don't think before they open their mouths. And some of the stuff that you can get away with on the local independent circuit is something that you should not consider thinking about getting away with, or thinking about even getting away with, when you get to the big times. You know, it could be Ring of Honor, it could be New Japan. Like I said, I'm repeating myself. You do not pull that shit. And the last 15 minutes, I'm going to go back to the whole, you know, Nia Jax situation, in which this is going to stem into a discussion tomorrow. If you have time, here's what I suggest you do. You know, the advice that gets thrown at you can come from a lot of different variations. I'm pretty sure the WWE appreciates Nia doing what she did, because she handled it in a professional manner. She didn't just say, I'm taking my wrestling boots, my gear, I'm packing up, I'm going home, and I'm not coming back. She didn't do that. It's the person involved that really bugs the fuck out of me. Some people may idolize her. I mean, we had a guest earlier in the year revel about Sasha Banks because she's a legit boss, whatever. I'm not so irritated about that. And I understand, you know, the fans who sit there and camp out at the airport, really, I mean, what's the point? I can see where she's coming from there. But what I'm getting at is, if you don't feel comfortable in any situation, you know how easy it is just to say the word leave, or take some time, think about it, pray, do whatever you have to do? Because that's the honest situation that Nia had herself in, or that she was thinking about. Think about this. If you're not comfortable with a situation at work, like somebody's harassing you, or somebody, you're constantly the one working your ass off, and you don't get
you don't get the right treatment at work. How do you think that makes you feel? You know, to get the shaft at work or not even be considered for a promotion. One of two things. You're either not working hard or you're not channeling the right connections. These are just, you know, based on observation. Is some things in wrestling based on favoritism? Okay. I've answered this question before. That's all about perception and how you perceive what's going on around you. And if you notice that there's favoritism, don't be so quick to point it out, because the moment you do that, you're better known as the whiny bitch. And I just had an interesting conversation on Instagram that I was replying to. I don't hate Sasha Banks. I'm just irritated with some of the things that have been done in the past with her. Okay. There are some people in wrestling that will complain and say, oh, my God, so-and-so looks like a freaking Barbie doll, and I had to work my ass off to get where I'm at. As I said, some people can wrestle with a chip on their shoulders. That's great. But what it comes down to is the principle of coming back. Nia Jax probably thought to herself, okay, I have a few things that I need to get off my chest, but I'm going to go about this situation in a professional manner versus tweeting about things in an unprofessional way, even though it was one sentence that was tweeted out by Mr. Rush. She decided to take some time off. It was speculated that she had left the company for good by other news sources in wrestling, okay? Some people, Bleacher, some people such as, just different variety sites, the Cage Side Seats. Maybe it was reported by one gentleman who later regretted doing that because she didn't necessarily leave. She's taking a breather, ladies and gents. There's a difference between taking a breather in wrestling and actually leaving, like Austin Aries. No. Like the brass ring is right in front, and give an opportunity to show the boss why you are the best, and you do show why you are. Yet the big boss just doesn't see why. Maya, but I'm pretty sure a lot of fans will sit there and tell you they're happy to see Nia back because it gives the women's division spice. It gives it flavor. When you just have the same people, Mickey James is a woman, but when you have the same division, if you were to have Dennis LeRae and Joey Ryan just terrorize the tag team division and Revolver, whichever company they decide to wrestle for, and they, you know, they just win on a constant basis, that's great for them, but everyone else will start to complain and question the morale of the company they're working for. Nia did the right thing. Should I wrestle for a company that I'm giving my all for? I show up to work on time. I'm never late. I've never had any issues with any of the superstars. I may have gotten into some arguments, but never anything too big. Okay? I think that the Leviathan, or the beautiful Leviathan known as Nia Jax, has a point. If I'm going to be upfront, I'm going to be straightforward, and I'm going to be the woman of the future for WWE, then why am I not being showcased? Why am I not being taken care of? I think there's a lot of questions that need to be answered. and I think that what she did was really the proper way of handling things. And I'll have more time to discuss all of this tomorrow about why it's always important, as I knock over CDs and stuff, why it's always important to maintain professionalism before leaving, making the decision to jump ship, leave, to say the words, I quit. Of course, you know me. I didn't maintain professionalism when I left the company a year ago. That's a different story for a different day, which I've told a million times over, and people are kind of getting really sick of it. So, it's Halloween, folks. Gonna put the candy out for the kiddos to get in the neighborhood. Hope, you know, there's a lot of, there's some walking around right now. And that's awesome. One's dressed up like Enzo, a poor thing. Anyways, with 5 minutes left, I'm just gonna put it like this. If you have an opportunity to leave your company for a better opportunity, do it. Don't sit and bitch and gripe on Facebook. Do not sit and fucking tweet about shit. Man up, woman up. Just get yourself in a position where people know that you are respectful, that you are cool about shit. Okay? That's all I'm going to tell you. Naya did the right thing. Now, there were a lot of things that bothered people about that little tweet. Don't let it, because I didn't let it bother me. I just decided to report it. Because why? I'll go in more in depth about that tweet that Leo Rush made, because it's only one tweet and got a lot of attention from podcasters, fellow wrestlers, fellow countrymen, if you will, from Peyton Royce. Don't make a spectacle of yourself if you've barely been in the company for less than a year. That's like the employee that decides to smart mouth somebody that's been around for a while. Okay? So just keep your mouth intact, because I always keep mine, thank God, I keep mine intact. And I also keep my thoughts on a swivel, because I always tend to ramble but still make the point. Point is, social media can be a great handle for things, but also be someone else's downfall. Is this a downfall for Leo Rush? No, it's just a bump in the road. He'll learn. Shit happens. But, folks, I got to enjoy Halloween. There's kids at the door. Hi, hang on. Nemo, hang on. You can't say hi on my podcast. I'll be right there. Anyways, folks, tomorrow marks the very first day of November 1st. I'm going to enjoy Halloween. I got to go to a block party, and then I'm going to go to a friend's Halloween party. Enjoy, folks. Have a nice day, night, whatever. Catch you on the flip side, bitches.
I'm the cultural personality.